Turn over to Proverbs chapter 22. Today is a very special day. Today is a day that has been set aside for a baby dedication. And I've been in services before throughout the years where baby dedications are, kind of an afterthought relative to what's happening in the service. And that's kind of sad because a baby dedication is not just a matter of, the family hauls the newborn up to the front of the church and the pastor says nice things and lays hands on the kid and everything's supposed to be okay. Everybody goes home, has a big meal, and then passes out, all right? No, it's supposed to be more than that. Those of you that have been around here, you know how I do weddings. And it's a very serious thing. More serious than what most churches think. The same thing is true as far as baby dedication. I want you to think for a moment about that word. Baby dedication. What does that seem to imply? That you're dedicating a baby, right? Now, to whom is the baby being dedicated? Me? This church? It's to God. And if people aren't going to follow through with what the dedication is all about, then don't do it. And what I would say to any, it wouldn't matter who was here today for the baby dedication. What I would say to the parents is this. By the time this message is over, if you don't think you're going to be able to fulfill what I'm going to show you in words in the Word of God, then you somehow let me know and we'll put an end to it right there. We just won't go through with it. I'm serious. I have had I've had people come to me about baby dedications. Brother Martin, we'd like to dedicate Junior or Sissy, whatever. So I meet with them ahead of time and I let them know briefly, very briefly, what this is all about. And would you believe it? I've not dedicated every baby that the parents wanted dedicated. You know why? It's because they weren't willing to make the commitment to God. When they found out what this was about, they backed off. I wouldn't want to be those parents. Because you know what they're saying? What they're saying is, don't tell me what God wants. I just want to be able to say that my baby's been dedicated. Don't tell me what's in the Word. I'm going to do this thing my way. Forget you, forget God, forget the Bible. Don't even think of trying to hold me accountable for anything relative to my child. Got news for you, dear heart. You go through a baby dedication, and what you're doing is dedicating that baby to God. Baby dedications don't save children, but what you're doing is you're saying, look, God, I submit myself to you, and I dedicate myself and this baby to you. I will serve you as best I can to raise this baby the way that you want this baby raised. Here in Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. In what book did we just read those words? And Proverbs is contained in what? The Bible. And the Bible came from whom? So therefore, these are God's words, right? Based on that, then, we know that God is telling us, whether we want to accept it or believe it or not, God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this verse has been mistaught. Because you can train up a child in the way the child should go, but that does not mean that God is going to violate the will of that child. What this verse is saying is this: you train up a child in the way that child should go, and it's not going to matter how old that child gets. That child is never going to be able to depart the training that was planted in that child. He may not choose to live by it, but he's never going to be able to get away from it. You know, it's just like if you eat bad food and causes your stomach to be upset and you have to pay a visit to the bathroom. You may relieve yourself of that bad food, but dear heart, you are not going to relieve yourself of the effects of that bad food. You're going to feel miserable for a period of time afterward. You know what I'm saying? Likewise, when you train up a child the way that he should go, he's never going to be able to stand before God and say, "But I didn't know God." He's never going to be able to stand in front of anybody and say, "But I didn't know." Because you trained up that child the way he should go, and now he can never get away from it. So let's take a look at the Word of God here and find out what God has said relative to this whole thing of training up a child. Because if God's going to tell us to do it, then we ought to be able to find something in God's Word relative to how we're supposed to do it. Wouldn't you think? Okay, let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Going to be looking at a lot of Scripture today. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Now we'll stop right there before we go any further. Do you notice what he says, don't add to or take away from, essentially? Now, you're probably going to hear me say this again in just a few minutes, but we would be foolish to believe that what God said then does not apply now. Here's what I'm getting at. You don't add to or take away from the Word of God. You do not alter it to fit your purpose. And this is where a lot of people mess up. They look at something in the Word of God, and for some reason they think it only applied to people at that time, such as train up a child the way it should go. And it doesn't apply today. I mean, we're much more sophisticated. We're much more this, we're much more that. We're beyond those things. You know, cultures are different and so forth. No, they're not. Sin nature is a sin nature, and born again is born again. Bottom line. The sin nature has never changed. It still has the capacity to produce horrible things. So he says, don't change what I give you. Verse 3, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did that, ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me." Now Moses is speaking here. "That ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And he came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice." Now turn over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 18. "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. Now, what we've just read here is relative to the law, I know that. But the concept is still the same. Meaning, God expects parents to set the example with the Word of God. And not only that, where He talks about speaking these things, or talking about these things, when you come in, when you go out, wherever you go. In other words, what He's saying is, your lifestyle as a parent is supposed to reflect the essence of God's Word. Whatever God has established as a principle here in His Word, that is supposed to be the lifestyle of the parent before the child. You see, it's one thing to tell a child something, but it's another thing to live it in front of them. And this is where a lot of parents mess up. Some parents have the idea that all I need to do is send my kid to church. No, what you need to do is take your kid to church. You are supposed to live the responsibility of God's Word before their very eyes. And if you don't do this, then you cannot say that you're training up a child in the way it should go, because God has said right here in His Word, look at what I've said, look at what I've given to you, look at what I have spoken to you. This is to be your standard. This is to how you're supposed to live. But not only that, you're supposed to demonstrate all of these things before your children in word and in deed. And in doing so, it is going to help to guide your children in the direction that they're supposed to go. And if you don't do this, where's the guidance? Have you ever figured out why it is that Satan works so hard to get Bible reading out of the schools? I mean, the body of Christ let that happen. 40 years ago, the body of Christ let that happen. You know why? It's because the body of Christ was so spiritually ignorant of the things of God, they did not realize that Bible reading in school was a form of training a child in the way the child should go. And now look at our culture today. And now you take a look at the people who are in leadership in this country. And you look at the laws that they're passing. Look at the judges. The judges that we now have in our courtrooms are judges who were raised in a culture where the Bible was taken away from them in school. Even if they weren't getting it at home, they were getting it somewhat in school. But now you have judges. You have people in positions of making the laws of this country. And what are they doing? They're making laws that are turning people away from the Word of God. And why is that? That's because the Word of God was never given to them. The Word of God was never working in them or pointing them toward the direction God wanted them to go. I'm talking even lost people. The people back here in Deuteronomy, were they born again? No. Even lost people can hear, at least mentally, the concepts that God delivers to us in His Word. And so what's happened is this. We have parents today who no longer want, now I'm talking even in the body of Christ, who no longer want God's Word to be the standard that they use to raise their children. And if this is the choice that you make, do me a favor. Don't come fussing at me because I didn't do my job as a pastor to make your child obey. If God's Word isn't your standard at home, why should you expect your child to listen to me? See, this is not easy stuff. You know why it's not easy stuff? It's because Christians don't have God's Word as their own standard. If God's Word was your own standard, you wouldn't have a problem with hearing me say you're supposed to make God's Word the standard for the way you raise your child. There's compromise in the body of Christ. I know. Okay, Brother Martin, you're just a hard-nosed old billy goat. So, what do you want me to do? Stand up here and sing, que sera, sera, whatever will be, do whatever you want and hope for the best. Be kind to your neighbor and don't kick your dog. God loves you. And that's what we're going to stand before Him in here. Well, you were good to your neighbor and didn't kick the dog. Hallelujah. Come on in. If God's Word is not the standard, then something else is the standard. And if something else is the standard, it's not going to train the child in the way the child should go. Look in Psalm chapter 119. Look at a few more things here. Psalm chapter 119. And verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. In the Bible, God's Word, we find, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word. Now listen to me. God's Word is a lamp and God's Word is a light. Not what I think about God's Word. God's Word. Not what I tell you about God's Word. God's Word. Not what my denomination preaches about God's Word. God's Word. Because God's Word is the only thing that's going to be true. I could preach and teach something that's incorrect. He says, God, He's telling us, listen, my Word is a lamp and a light to your path and to your feet. Over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God." Now, what does this mean relative to training up a child? What it means is this. You make sure that child has a Bible. You make sure that child knows how to read that Bible. Can I get really hard-nosed? Can I get really weird with you for a minute? Do you understand that at one time, the Bible was used as the training book to train children how to read? Not C-Spot Run, and not the NIV. The King James. That was the book that was used to teach children how to read. And they started them in Genesis, and they read them through the Bible. They trained them how to read. They trained little kids how to pronounce words like Mephibosheth. Pretty hard when you don't have any teeth. But they trained their kids. Some people don't know this. But that was what was used. The Bible was used to train children how to read, to teach them their ABCs. Not C-Spot Run, Run Spot Run, C-Bob Run, Run Bob Run, Bob's Got the Runs. Not that. They used the Bible. Now, you got a baby in the house? Pull out the Bible.
But they don't understand.
And you heard that from who? Child psychologist, Brother Martin, they tell us. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, God, my word is a lamp and a light. Train up a child. So if I'm not using the Bible and giving the Bible, when I'm talking, I'm reading the Bible. If I'm not doing this with a child, then what is it I'm putting in front of them as a lamp and a light? What is it that's guiding their feet and illuminating their path? The world. And again, I point to our culture today. You see the result. You say, but Brother Martin, you really believe that using the Bible is a thing to try to help children read? What I'm saying is, yes. I'm not saying it's the only thing you can use. You can use other tools to teach them their ABCs and so forth. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, what's wrong with the Scriptures? What's wrong with sowing the Word into them from day one? What's wrong with that? Nothing. But it doesn't meet up with social standards, does it? See? So in other words, the social standards have moved into the church and into the Christian home, and that's what's used to train up the children. So go ahead and get these easy readers and teach the kids how to read books. I'm not saying you don't do that. What I'm saying is, get the Word. Get the Word. Point to the Word. See this, Johnny? This word is red and this word is see. Red, see. Red, say that with me, Johnny. Red, see. I'm getting some looks like, really? We should have. Never heard of such a thing. You know what? A couple of generations ago, they did. Three or four generations ago, it was the standard. Culture has de-spiritualized the way Christians raise their kids. Look in Psalm 122. The Word of God. Absolutely the Word of God. If you're a parent, you're going to raise your child and train your child the way the child should go. If you don't give them the Word of God, then what are you going to give them? What are you going to use them? Get them a Bible. Help them learn how to read from the Bible. Read with them from the Bible. Help the Bible to become a habit in their life. It's God's Word. It is a lamp and it is a light. for the direction of their lives. In Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The problem is, you've got too many Christian parents today, they kind of rewrite this. I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because I'd sure rather be out there fishing. I'd sure rather be at home watching the football game. It's the playoffs, Brother Martin, don't you understand? I can't go to church on Sunday night. Why not? Because it's Game 7 of the World Series. Ugh. Oh, we could talk about other things, you know, TV stuff. Johnny, what, Mom? You and I are going to church. What about Dad? Well, he's staying home. How come? Well, because NASCAR is on tonight. The first century of NASCAR. He wants to watch Henry Ford build the first car and how it was changed into race cars. Well, Mommy, can I stay home? No, honey, we have to go to church. But Mommy, I want to stay home with Daddy and watch the cars on TV. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 talks about forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. See, when you go to church, you've got responsibility. Why should a child want to go to church if the parents demonstrate an attitude of it's an option? Well, Brother Martin, it is an option. In the most literal sense, yeah, I know it is. Okay? But if you're going to train up a child in the way the child should go, it's not an option. And too many parents in the body of Christ don't see the value of seeing to it that their kids are in church. Let me tell you what, I could really soapbox this one big time. I control my flesh and my emotions greatly in these things. And in the flesh, I want to say things like, parents, when you use all kinds of excuses just to allow your kids to stay home because you don't want to go, you're a loser. But I don't say things like that. I control myself. But those are the kind of thoughts that go through my head.
He's preaching pretty hard.
You better hear it now instead of when you get before God. You know why it sounds like I'm preaching hard? It's because the body of Christ flat out doesn't get it. They compromise in these things. You honestly think it's okay to just schlock your responsibilities before God? We're talking about the creator of the universe. We are talking about the person that's going to look you eyeball to eyeball, and it's either going to admit you into heaven or cast you into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, you better think about this. And he expects us... Listen, I'm looking around to see. If you're going to take it upon yourselves to enjoy the physical aspects of child creating, then you had better be prepared to accept the responsibilities of training up that child in the way that child should go. And if you're not prepared to accept that responsibility, then take a cold shower. That's how serious this is. And there are a lot of children in the body, I'm talking children of Christian parents, who are being raised in a way that is absolutely unacceptable before God. It's because the parents are compromising, and they're training the children to compromise. Then when the children grow up and start compromising, the parents can't figure out why. Listen, I know you can't control the will of a child, but you can influence the decisions. You can do the best you can. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When the doors are open, you're there with the kids. You train that child to be responsible before God in the area of church attendance. You can't do that if you skip out whenever, why ever, however, for whatever. You can't do it. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. See, See, raising up a child the way the child should go and training up a child the way that the child should go is a whole lot more difficult than what a lot of parents realize. It's not simply about being there for their soccer games. In fact, the truth is, there are a lot of parents that have trained their children to be involved in soccer and swimming and basketball and cheerleading and hockey and, I mean, all other kinds of stuff. They are training their children to put a responsibility on those activities, even if those activities conflict with commitment to God. And so what you have then are kids that are being told by the parents, if you have something that seems to be more important to your life, then it's okay for you to do that as opposed to this over here that God would expect. And then, what? We expect the children to just somehow absorb a commitment to God? It doesn't happen. The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go. The Bible does not say they absorb it naturally without any external influence. The Bible says, train up a child. In John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Once again, are these words found in Reader's Digest or in the Bible? Okay, now this means that this is God's standard. God has said that if you are not born again, man, you don't even get into, you can't even see the kingdom of God. But the way to get born again is to accept my Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I don't know of too many parents who get really excited about the idea of little Bobby or little Susie going to hell. So what's the solution? It's right here. You tell your children that Jesus loves them. You tell your children that Jesus died for them. You tell your children that if they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be born again just like God said in the Bible. And here's what's amazing. I have encountered Christians. They don't want to do this. I'm not making this kind of stuff up. They don't want to do this. What they want to do is raise their child to be an independent thinker so that the child is equipped and prepared to make his or her own decisions based on what he or she deems to be the thing they should do. Where in the world do you get this garbage? Let me get this straight. God sends His Son, Jesus. Jesus dies on the cross so that you can be purged of that sin nature, so that you can be born again. Then you, husband and wife, you join together, you have a baby, and then you raise that baby so it can make its own decisions based on intellectual input. You don't want to force religion down their throat. I could get real carnal on this one. That's blankety blank. And you know it is. You know it is. How on God's green earth can you justify not telling a child that Jesus loves them? How can you justify not telling a child that Jesus is the answer? You say, well, when they're old enough to understand, that's when I'll begin to tell them. Are you pregnant? Well, yeah. Then tell them. Well, wait a minute. They're in my tummy. Tell them. Listen. I forget the fellow's name, Chinese violinist. He was kept behind the bamboo curtain, communism. He wasn't let out to the free world, but those in the music industry recognized this man as being one of the greatest violinists ever. And there was a lady that went to him one day and she said, I want my son to be able to play the violin like you. And he said, well, how old? And she said, well, he's just, you know, a few months old. And he said, then what you need to do now is begin playing records of me playing so that when that child grows and can actually hold a violin, a child's violin, training violin, that child will already have embedded in his soul my style. Then I can train that child. You begin embedding in the soul of that child even before that child is born that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus is the answer. You begin telling that child now, Jesus died for you so that you could be born again, so that you could go to heaven. You begin telling that child, even though the child doesn't seem to understand any of that, what you're doing is training the soul of that child to respond to the gospel message. This is how children at a very young age can be born again. I've heard stories of children at the age of 3 becoming born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And some people say, well, that's impossible. Who told you it's impossible? Who told you that? How do you know it's impossible? And where did you get that from? God's Word. Listen, God says in His Word, if you believe, then you can receive, right? Well, but at the age of 3, they're too young to understand and to believe. Oh, really? Really? They understand and believe that if they fuss enough, they get a bottle. They understand that if they fuss enough and cry enough, they're going to get that toy put back in their hands. They understand at 3 years old that when you put it in their hands, they can throw it on the floor and you'll pick it up and give it to them again. And they can throw it back on the floor and you'll pick it up and give it. They're training you. They may not even be able to pronounce God, but they know what to do. They figured it out. Something in the realm of their soul has come to the conclusion, I throw on floor, they pick up and give to me. Go fetch Daddy. Fetch Daddy. Fetch. And you know what we do? We laugh about it the whole time. Oh, this is so cute. Look at him. He just wants to play. And on the inside, the kid is thinking, boy, they are so dumb. Watch this. Now, if they can comprehend that, don't you think that speaking the name of Jesus to them, the love of Jesus to them, don't you think that doing that, even before you think they're able to comprehend, don't you think that that is establishing a pattern of training in their soul to hear the Word of God, to hear the plan of salvation? You better believe it is. And at what age do we tell them? 8, 5, 7, 30? I mean, at what age are they able to understand? They're able to understand now. Right now. But he's only a month old. Right now. But I haven't given birth. Right now. Now is when you begin that training. Now is when you begin telling them about Jesus. Look over in Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Who spoke these words? Well, if Jesus spoke them, don't you think we should pass them along? So right along with telling your son or your daughter, your baby, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died so they could be born again, you tell your son and your daughter, I don't care what age, you start telling them about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but he's only 8 months old. Tell him about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but he's only 3 months old. Tell him about the Holy Ghost. He's only a year old. Tell him about the Holy Ghost. But they don't understand. Train their soul to respond to the Word. Train their soul to respond to it. I know their spirit, they're not born again yet. They don't understand these things, you know, the mental part and all that other. But you're training them. This is a part of the training. Tell them about the Holy Ghost. Tell them you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tell them about Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. Tell them about John chapter 14, verse 12, how that Jesus said that the person, those that believe on Him, the works that He did, they shall do also. Tell them about how that they can have the same power that Jesus had. They can be endued with power from on high by the Holy Ghost, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and then they can continue doing the things that Jesus did. Begin telling them these things now. Telling them these things. Tell them they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and they can pray in the Spirit. And then pray in the Spirit with them. They may be sucking on the bottle. Pray in the Spirit. Again, you are training their souls to respond to the direction you want them to go. If you wait until they're 10, 12, 14 years old, dear heart, you have lost them. And you better pray that they respond to the words of somebody else, because they're probably not responding to you anymore. Not according to these things. Not along these lines. And some of you parents know exactly what I'm talking about. You begin telling them right now about this. Some of you will be born again. And there he is. You know, you're changing the diapers. Tell him about Jesus. Tell him about the Holy Spirit. Who knows? They may start crying in tongues. Hallelujah. You tell them about these things. It's training their souls to respond to a spiritual truth. See, these kind of concepts, let me kind of not get ahead of myself here. Did you know why the thing called preschool came into existence? Do you know why that was? How many of you remember used to? It was kindergarten. That's it. You start age like 5, 6, kindergarten. That's where you started, right? There was nothing else. Kindergarten. Do you know why they have preschool? It's because psychologists have figured out over the years that the children at the age of 2 can begin learning things about spelling, reading, writing, math. At the age of 2, psychologists have learned this. I'm not talking Bible psychologists. I'm talking world psychologists. They have figured out that the psyche of the child is able to begin assimilating this information and producing results. And so they came up with this thing called preschool. Put them in there 1, 2, 3 days a week, 2, 3, 4 hours a day. And by the time they get to kindergarten, they'll be beyond all the children who didn't go to preschool. And they have a better chance of succeeding in school because we will have trained their minds to receive the information we are giving them. How much more the Word of God? How much more? And see, the body of Christ, Christians generally speaking, we have accepted the preschool concept, but we have not accepted the pre-church concept. You understand the concept I'm saying, what I'm sharing with you? Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This passage is very similar to Ephesians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And this, like I said, it flows right along with Ephesians, where it talks about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and so forth. Now, what does this have to do with training up a child in the way he should go? Here's what it has to do with. Instead of just telling a child when he's like, how many of you remember, maybe like, nobody asked you what you wanted to do in life until you were like in high school? Think way back, okay? Way back. Have you taken your glucosamine lately? Think way back, or whatever it is it does for the mindset. How many of you remember? It wasn't until, they didn't come to you when like maybe necessarily 8 years. It's like you waited till you were in high school before they took you to career planning day. Remember that? And what do they do? Mom, dad, everybody else around you, they ask you, what do you want to be, right? Nobody ever asked me, what's God's plan for your life? Nobody asked me. Nobody took me to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or Ephesians chapter 4. Nobody ever asked me, where do you fit in here? Nobody. Want to be a fireman? Want to be a doctor? Want to be a professional wrestler? What do you want to be, Jimmy? Well, I don't know. But nobody ever, that I can remember, ever took me to the Word of God and said, do you see these things in here? Son, you fit somewhere in there. Now what you need to do is find out whether you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, government. You need to find this out. Because you fit in there somewhere. God has a plan for your life. God has a calling on you. God. Now that calling may be compatible with a career choice such as doctor, nurse, lawyer, whatever. Doesn't matter. School teacher, artist, whatever. But you have a call of God on your life, son. And you're holding, you know. You got the little kid up on your shoulder, burping him. You know, God has a call. You are an apostle or a prophet. You are an evangelist. You're a pastor. You're a teacher. You're in helps. You are something, son. You are something, son. Do you understand that? God loves you and He's had a plan for you from before the foundation of the world. There's a divine plan laid up in heaven for you, son. God has a calling on your life. You know what's going to happen? You're training the soul of that child to respond to that call. Not only that, but you're training that child to believe that he has a call. How many of us in this room have gone through periods in our lives when we didn't even believe God had a call for us? Now, let's take you back to 3 months of age and you start hearing all your life from your parents, God has a call. God has a call. You're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist. God has a call for your life. God has a call for your life. God's got a plan for you, a divine plan that He wrote out in heaven before the foundation of the world, and He's got it in a file cabinet. It's got your name on it up there in heaven, and God wants you to know what this plan is. And now that you're here in this world, son, I know you're only 4 months old. I know you're only 6 weeks old. But I want you to know God's got a plan for your life. God's got a... You are what God says. And you're somewhere in this passage. Son, if you'll seek Him. Sweetheart, daughter, if you'll pray and stay in His presence, God's going to reveal that plan to you and you're going to know it. And I say in the name of Jesus Christ, you will understand your calling at a young age. You'll know. You'll know whether you're an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, teacher. But you know what happens in the body of Christ? We depend upon the world to train our children to become something. And then we wait until they're older, in their teens or 20s, and they struggle with, God has a call on your life.
But I wish I knew what it was.
And what happens is, we then have to go back and try to reprogram their thinking from God's Word, that indeed you fit in here. This is why a lot of Christians cannot fathom the idea that they are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, or government. They think they are nothing more than a car mechanic. They think they are nothing more than an accountant. They think they are nothing more than a nurse. They think they are nothing more than this thing or that thing over there. They cannot see themselves as being something that's in God's Word. And the reason for it is because the world has trained them to think according to a career as opposed to a calling. As a parent, the responsibility is to tell that child now, right now, God's got a plan for you. You fit here in the Word of God. You fit somewhere here in this. This is you, son. This is you, daughter. I don't know which one of these you are just yet, but you're one of these in here. Now, look at me, baby. Look at me, baby. Say it. Apostle, prophet. Let them know. They're going to end up going to school. Show and tell. First grade, show and tell. They're going to stand up and say, I am an evangelist. You talk about getting a note from the teacher. Hallelujah. I mean, even in a Christian school, the teacher's probably going to sit back and say, well, how'd you know that? But you know what? By the age of 6, it's possible for a child to know that if they've been trained in that direction. If they've been trained. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife as loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What's this got to do with training up a child? Well, what I just read to you came from God's Word. Therefore, this has to be the standard of the home if you're going to train up a child the way it should go. The child should see the husband, daddy, loving mama and the family as Christ loved the church. That's what the child should see. If the child isn't, see, it talks about Christ nourishing the church and so forth. In other words, you've got a spiritual role in the home, Dad. And Mom, you've got a spiritual role in the home as well. And you see this contained in here. This has to be the standard of the home. This is not an option. This has to be the standard of the home if you're going to do what God wants you to do when it comes to training up the child. You see, if moms and dads are training up their child the way the child should go, and this, what I've just read to you, is the standard of the home, that child will grow up understanding what a normal home life is. But when this is not the standard, then somewhere along the line, you better hope that child comes to the understanding of this standard so that his or her home will line up with God's Word the way yours did not. this has to be the standard. A husband is supposed to love the wife, and the wife is supposed to love the husband according to God's word and according to these standards. It has to be this way, and the child has to see it. Now look in Romans chapter 5. See any of these points that I'm covering here today? They could be a sermon unto themselves. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What this means is that when we are born into this world, we are born with the sin nature. It's passed down to us from Adam. And the only way that sin nature can be changed is if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When that happens, the sin nature is removed and God's life is given to us. It's what's called being born again. But until we accept Jesus, the sin nature is there. Everyone is born in this world, you know, other than Jesus, obviously. But everybody is born in this world, was born in this world, with this sin nature. Now, the sin nature is prone to do what? Sin. Okay? Therefore, if something isn't done to govern the sin nature, sin will run rampant. Perfect example is what was going on over in Iraq. Perfect example is what happened in the 30s and 40s in Germany. And the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s in the Soviet Union. And on, many examples. If the sin nature is not governed, the sin nature will produce unbelievable acts of atrocity if it is not governed. Now turn to Proverbs 13. You talk about getting politically incorrect. This is it. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him quickly. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. See, this is the part. If he didn't like what I said before from God's Word, if he didn't like the things I was showing you before, I'll guarantee you, you're not happy about this one at all. Once again, I'd like to ask a question. Who gave us these words? Therefore, this is an instruction from God, is it not? So let's modernize this terminology. It talks about beating with the rod. Spanking.
Brother Martin, you can't do that today.
Why not?
Don't you understand there are laws that say you can't abuse your child?
Does it say anything here about abusing your child? No.
But Brother Martin, why, that's inhuman. Why, don't you know we're a much more civilized society than that?
Okay? Look at your culture and you tell me if we're much more civilized than that. Let's go back to God's Word, okay? I don't care if you get mad at me. You may want to punch my lights out for this stuff. Let me get this straight. I read God's Word to you and you get mad at me. I show you what God said and you get upset with me. I show you what God said and you want to argue with me? Man, you got a problem. What's God say? He says, correct that child. How? In a physical way.
Well, I just don't believe in that.
Why not?
Well, because it's not necessary.
Okay, do you understand that you cannot reason with the sin nature? Do you understand law is for the lawless, force is for the rebellious? Law exists to govern the sin nature. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. Laws exist. Why do you think that in our books, our law books, secular? Why do you think it says it's against the law to break into somebody's house and steal stuff? Why is that law on the books? Because somebody out there has the potential to break into your house and steal your stuff. Why do they have that potential? Sin nature. Why is there a law in the books that says it's against the law to rape? Because there's somebody out there that's got the potential to do that. Why do they have that sin nature? Why is it on the law that it's on the books? It's against the law to sell drugs. It's because there are people out there who will do it. Why? Sin nature. Why is it? Is there a law on the books that says it's wrong to shoot people? Because there are people out there who will shoot you. Let me ask you another question. Why don't you like to walk through downtown Saturday night at midnight? Why not? Because there are people down there with some really ugly sin nature on the inside of them. And you know that if you run into them in a dark alley, it may not go well for you. Sin nature. Laws exist to try and govern the sin nature. Correction, force, and punishment exist for those who rebel against the laws. Johnny, I've told you four times now. I'm telling you, number five, this is it. Number five, if you do that again, I will spank you. How many of you want to bet what Johnny's going to do? I mean, after four times? You know what he's going to do. So what? We take little Johnny. Now, son, come here. Don't you understand Daddy doesn't want you to do that? Yeah, he does. You've told him five times. He knows you don't want him to do it. When are you going to get a clue? There's something about Johnny that needs to be corrected. Now, you know why our society is turning against corporal punishment, spanking? You know why that is? It's because the body of Christ has turned against it. You know why the body of Christ has turned against it? It's because society has said, why, that's not right. It could damage the psychological development of your child if you spank him. But if I don't damage his psychological development now, he may damage your body when he's 18. Don't you want me to help society by trying to govern the rebellion in this child? Well, it says that this foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Where did it get there? How did that foolishness get there? Romans 5:12, sin nature. There are Christians who are adamantly, absolutely, positively, you better never do it in my sight, opposed to spanking children. Okay, fine. Believe what you want. Talk about what you want. Don't please, do not come and argue with me about this, all right? I'll spank you. Do not. What I'll do, and I'll just ask you this question right now. But what's in God's Word? But what is it? What has God said to us? Yes, but I don't. I know you don't, but I'm asking you, what did God say? Now let me ask you another question. How can you say you're training up a child in the way the child should go if you're not going along with what God said? This is not hard stuff, guys. But you know what has made it hard? Is the compromise in the body of Christ that's taken us away from the standards of God's Word. Look, I know children are different, okay? And some kids, all you have to do is raise your eyebrow and they start crying. And some kids, they don't need as much, you know, dusting of the fanny. Now, see, I was one of those kind of children. I was very compliant. Why are you laughing? It's like you know something. No, quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. You know what? My mom and dad, other than the part about the Holy Spirit, they pretty much did all this in here. They didn't teach me how to read with the Bible, but the Bible was read. And you know what? There was a period in my life where I turned from God and I walked away. Man, I lived for the devil. Did all kinds of stuff. But you know what? There wasn't a day that went by that I was not conscious of the things I'd heard in church of the things I'd experienced in my home, of the Word of God that had been shared with me, of the love of Christ that had been taught to me. There wasn't a day that went by that I wasn't conscious. There were times I'd be standing in those bars, drunk, knowing what I had on my mind, but also aware that this was wrong. I could not depart from how I'd been raised. I was rebelling against it, but I could not depart from it. And I've got the calluses to prove it. Hallelujah. Listen. The choice is up to us. God has said, here's my word. Here are some standards. There's more we could show here in the word. God has said, look, here's what I'm showing you in the word. Here's what you need to do. Now, if you do this, what you're doing then is helping that child get prepared for serving me. If you don't do this, you're hindering what I can do. Let me show you one more thing. Look in James chapter 4. Here's where it gets really challenging. You said it hasn't been up until now, Brother Martin. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now look in John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, verse 48, Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Okay, now, here's the part that's, out of everything I've shared with you today, this is the part that's the most challenging. Now that I have shown you from God's word what God expects, not the rantings and ravings of some preacher, I've shown you in the Bible the standard that God expects. Now that you've seen this, if you don't do it, you're guilty of sin. Well, Brother Martin, that's not fair. Go back in there and read it again. I didn't make that up. I didn't sneak into your house and write it in. It's been there the whole time. If you don't do this, it's sin. And the word that you've heard, it's going to be the thing that judges you when you stand before God. God will look at you and say, but you were there. But you heard the tape. But you knew this. So why didn't you do it? You knew these things. Why didn't you do this? Yeah, but Brother Martin, yeah, but you know, my kids are like 7, 8 years old. Start now. Start now. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, but my child is 35 years old. Well, start now. But they don't live at home. No, but you can take these principles and apply them to your lifestyle to set an example before your 40-year-old kid and your 2-year-old grandchildren, your 6-month-old grandchild. Now, but my kids aren't serving Jesus. They don't want me to read the Bible to their child when I babysit. And you're babysitting where? Your home? I mean, what's the deal here? So you're going to let them tell you to go against what God said to do. This is going to be tough. Who are you going to obey? Who are you going to obey? Memorize the Bible and quote it. And then when they say, what are you doing? You can say, you told me not to read it. I'm not reading it to them. That's kind of a gray area though, isn't it? But anyway, what are you going to do? Now that you've heard this, if you don't do it, you will be held accountable and judged by the Word of God that you've seen. This is not easy at all. It is not. Was I the perfect parent? No. But I know more now. It's kind of weird. I feel like at this age right now, I'm more qualified to be a parent than I was when I was trying to raise up a kid. I feel like I'm much more qualified. But I can do the best I can to have an influence the best I can at this point. And not only that, man, I can start working on the grandkids. Hallelujah. 4-year-old Owen the other day. Got him on my lap, and I said, I'm going to pray for you, Owen. He said, okay. So I prayed for him. And then he looked at me and he says, I'm going to pray for you. I said, okay. You know what he said? He said, thank you, God, for this food. Amen. Whatever. Hallelujah. But he prayed. Glory to God. I'm training. Praise the Lord. But in spite of the nature of the prayer, he said, I want to pray for you. So now we just kind of have to re-instruct as to what that means. Hallelujah. I thank God that we have standards in His Word. I thank God that He didn't just say, train them up, and then leave it at that. He says, here's how. And if I do it His way, it's the best way. And then I'm trusting that my child is going to respond to the call of God, is going to accept Jesus and serve Him all the days of his life. Amen.